Now, we are in a mini-series for Christmas, and we have called Six Steps to Christmas. And the next of those steps is on Christmas Eve, but today we're looking at Galatians chapter 4 and verses 4 to 7. It's really a very wonderful passage. It tells us about how the sonship of Jesus means that we, men and women, boys and girls, can experience his adoption to his sonship too. And so let us then turn to Galatians chapter 4, and I will read it out for us starting in verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Now, as we start to look at this amazing experience that is open to us all this Christmas, I'm reminded of various individuals I've talked to over the years. And the following is a kind of amalgamation, a sort of identikit, a pastiche of lots of those conversations. He looked good on the outside. Good house. Good family, good job. He was usually among the first in his neighborhood to shovel the sidewalk outside his house when it had snowed. And in the summer, his lawn was always kept neat and tidy. His children went to a good school. He came from a good family. On the outside. On the inside, things were different. Not that he was hiding anything, understand. He really was doing his best. But he had this tendency to overthink what other people were thinking about him. He found that he had to frequently check his colleagues approved of him by checking in with them all the time. Then one day he met Jesus. Not the Jesus of traditional religion, but the real Jesus of the Bible. And at first, dramatically, but then bit by bit, he became secure. Here then is the fourth of our six steps to Christmas. Secure, secure in Jesus. Because of God's two sendings, the first sending in verse 4 of our passage, translated, God sent forth his Son. And the second sending in verse 6 of our passage, translated, God has sent the Spirit of his Son. Each sending the exact same word in the original. And together, these two sendings show us how to be secure in Jesus. So first, we can be secure in Jesus because God sent his Son that we might be sons. Look again with me at verses 4 and 5, if you will. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. We're told here that this first sending happened when the fullness of time had come. The fullness of time was when the time was ripe for Jesus to come. He had been long predicted. Now was the moment. The Magi followed the star and came to Bethlehem. A census was issued, and Mary and Joseph traveled. The Roman Empire was established, and the message about Jesus could now be communicated throughout the world. And it was now that God would send Jesus. And so we're told, God sent forth his Son. This first sending emphasizes that it was all God's initiative. It was not because we had completed all the other levels in a game of moral self-improvement until we finally leveled up by defeating the boss and got to God. No, God sent his Son, his initiative. And we're told he was born of woman. Christians believe that the Son of God is God the Son, that he is fully God. But Christians also believe that he was born of woman. He was fully human, too. The incarnation, as this doctrine of the God-man nature of Jesus is known, can be a barrier to faith for some. How can we believe something as so self-evidently against common sense and basic biology as that the Almighty God is fully present in a human baby? It's a beautiful idea, many say to themselves, but it seems to be against reason. But what I found is that reasonable people accept the incarnation not because it satisfies mere human reason, but because it does not. Look at it like this. Imagine people living in a flat land of two-dimensional objects, and a third dimension lands in this world, and all they can perceive is its flat outline. The way the third dimensional object moves from one place to another indicates it is above and beyond their two-dimensional reality. And similarly, it is reasonable to expect that there are parts of who Jesus is as God that show him to belong to a different, beyond mere human reason, dimension. That he is Son of God, born of woman. And we are told he was also born under the law. God's moral law is perfect. Jesus lived under the law, meaning he willingly obeyed it all. He did this, we're told, to redeem those under the law. None of us is able perfectly to obey God's perfect moral law. We may try. We may want to be good. We may even look good. But as one dear friend of mine who found security in Jesus told me, he had come to realize that he did not even keep his own rules, let alone God's rules. And so God sent Jesus to redeem us. That word meaning to buy us back from the slavery of living under the law of sin and guilt, condemned because we all disobey God's rules. Jesus, though, kept the law. He obeyed it all. He lived the perfect life. He died not for his sins, but for ours, so that the price was paid for our sinfulness, and that we by his blood might be bought back, redeemed from the guilt and condemnation of living under law. And all this, we're told, was so that we might receive adoption as sons. The promise given long ago to Abraham that his children would be part of God's family. Father Abraham had many sons. That promise, now extended to all the Galatians, the original readers of this letter, to all of us, to all ethnicities and nations, solely through faith in Jesus. We are adopted. That is, we become part of God's family. Secure. Safe. In the ancient world, adoption carried with it a kind of lasting security that is a little hard for us to penetrate. The great Caesar Augustus was adopted by Julius Caesar and became heir of the whole empire. We are more secure. We are adopted into a more royal family. We are in God's family. And all that means we can be secure in Jesus, because first God sent his son so that we might be sons. At this time of the year, we might watch some Christmas movies, perhaps even A Christmas Carol. The original author of that story, Charles Dickens, also wrote a novel about a boy who longed to find security from a very rich family. He wanted them to want him. And he assumed it was they who were paying his way through life. They had, he thought, as it were, adopted him. Only to discover that there was another benefactor, even a criminal, who had really supported him. Would it surprise us to know that a man condemned to execution, albeit by a fake kangaroo court, a man maligned as that pale Galilean, albeit by a notorious philosopher, a man ridiculed as Brian by the comedian, that Bible-bashing, holy roller, Jesus hippie himself, as they say, that he, Jesus, is the one who was sent that we might be divinely, eternally secure, adopted as God's child. Perhaps the reason why we don't feel secure is because sometimes we focus on ourself more than we focus on the Son. Perhaps the reason why we at times overthink our safety is because we underthink God's sending into the world his Son. Perhaps the reason why we assume we must always look good to others is because we don't look at how we are declared good in God's eyes by God's grace. And could it be that the solution to the understandable insecurity of our times, global, local, financial, emotional, psychological, will not finally come from within or externally from better circumstances, but from Christmas? the real Christmas. The Son of God sent as a gift. A gift to unwrap so we are adopted forever into the family of God. Oh yes, we can be secure when we are secure in Jesus. And not only because first God sent his Son that we might be sons, but also, second, because God sent the Spirit of his Son that we might experience being sons. And so again, if you look at verses 6 and 7 with me, it carries on. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. It starts, because you are sons. Meaning, because of our status as children of God through God's sending of Jesus, which we have received by faith, we are sons. Because of this sonship status, we're told God also has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. You see, the Spirit of Jesus was not only sent one time when he came on the early disciples on what is known as the day of Pentecost. He is also sent into the hearts of all believers in Jesus today too. The believer in Jesus has the internal presence of the Spirit sent into their hearts. We truly experience the Spirit of Jesus, intangible to a physical examination of the physical heart, but nonetheless really in the heart, as in the center of our being as people. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. See, these two sendings, the sending of the Son into the world to redeem us and the sending of the Spirit into our hearts to assure us, they distinguish biblical Christianity from all mere religions. Religion is all about searching for God. Christianity is God sending the Son into the world to seek us and save us. Christianity is God sending the Spirit of the Son into our hearts that we might experience him and know him personally and be assured of his love for us. And so we're told this Spirit cries within us, Abba, Father. Those two words, one in Aramaic, that is Abba, and the other translated out of the Greek into our English, Father, indicate the same joint truth. The Spirit within us cries out, and we with the Spirit's prompting cry out, to God as our dear Father. There is a secure intimacy with God that means we call God in prayer by the family name Abba or Father. Abba is the lisping name that a child first calls his or her father. Every language has its equivalent. Papa, Dada, Abba. God is our Abba, Christian, and we are his son. So we are assured that we are no longer a slave. That is, we're no longer under the condemnation of the law, but now a son, that is, we, male and female, men and women, are adopted into the family of God, and as a son, then an heir through God. That is, we inherit all the promises of God for his people now and for all eternity. For God has sent his son to redeem and has sent the spirit of his son to assure us of that redemption. Now, someone might say, how do I know that I really do experience this coming of the Spirit within my heart? A Christian leader called Martin Luther struggled greatly with this. He grew up being told over and over again that he could not be secure. He being told that, in fact, to be sure that he was going to heaven was entirely wrong. But then he realized that God sent his son, and he also realized that God sent the spirit of his son, and that the evidence for the sending of the spirit into his heart was when he desired anything that only the spirit would or could cause him to desire. Desire to hear the Bible? Only the spirit could or would give us that. Desire to pray? Only the Spirit could or would give us that. Desire to get rid of sin, even though we all still sin? Only the Spirit could or would give us that desire. Luther said, "Those in whom there is some glow and yearning for the word should acknowledge with gratitude that this feeling has been infused by the Holy Spirit." Some glow. Just some little desire for the word. If we have only that, then that has been infused by the Holy Spirit, yes, and could only have been infused by the Holy Spirit. Secure in Jesus. Because God sent his Son that we might be sons, because God sent the Spirit of his Son that we might experience being sons. Secure in Jesus, we savingly then delight in Jesus and servingly please Jesus. As we conclude, here are two ways to put being secure in Jesus into practice. First, receive. Receive his adoption as sons. That we're in the family of God, with greater status than Augustus Caesar, adopted by Julius Caesar. Receive his son. And then pray. Pray to God as our Father. Cry out with the Spirit, "Abba, Father." But perhaps the best way to bring this being secure in Jesus home to us all this Christmas may be by way of a contrast. In 1925, the great poet T.S. Eliot published The Hollow Men, one of his less known poems. It starts like this. "We are the hollow men. We are the stuffed men, leaning together, headpiece filled with straw. Alas, shape without form, shade without color, paralyzed force, gesture without motion. Remember us, if at all, not as lost, violent souls, but only as the hollow men, the stuffed men." I think it's T.S. Eliot's way of describing what happens when we attempt to live without God. Looks good, seems good, but hollow. Contrast that with the experience of a Christian leader called George Whitefield. Whitefield tells us how in 1735, I cast myself down on the bed, crying out, "I thirst, I thirst." Soon after this, I found and felt in myself that I was delivered from the burden that had so heavily oppressed me. The spirit of mourning was taken from me, and I knew what it was truly to rejoice in God my Savior, having now obtained mercy from God and received the spirit of adoption in my heart. Well, may we too today receive the spirit of adoption into our hearts and rejoice. Will you pray with me? Our Father God, we do thank you so much for these two sendings, the sending of your Son into the world to redeem us, and the sending of the spirit of your Son to assure us. We thank you, Lord, that if we receive Jesus, we are adopted, secure and safe eternally, heirs of all your promises. And we thank you, Father God, that as sons, you send the Spirit of your Son into our hearts to assure us, to cause us to cry out to you as our Father, our Abba. Help us, Lord, this Christmas to receive Jesus, to receive the Spirit of Jesus, and so be secure in you now and forever. We thank you and we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen.